I'd move.
Well, you know, you said something key there. I believe it doesn't matter how large or small the prayer request is. I mean, we've had situations of people with cancer healed. Mm-hmm. You know, but and that's a larger thing. But you know, you may think, well, this is just a small thing that I'm facing. But you know, some God cares that about what you're facing, regardless of what level of importance we want to put on our level of whatever that we as humans want to put on it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't do that. He cares. So if someone is having a need, and they may feel it's a small need, but it's still a need, he cares that they can send that prayer request.
Right.
In. We'll pray over that.
Exactly. Either me or Betty will take the prayer. We'll write a prayer to go with it and send it out to our prayer team. And we pray in unity, believing that God's going to answer. So it's, you know, just send your prayer requests to prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. Betty and I will pick them up. We'll send them out and to our prayer team. And even if you're interested in being a part of the prayer team, all we ask is that you, when you get a request, that you pray that request and you pray with a believing heart. That's all we ask. And so if you're interested in being a member of the prayer team, certainly you can send a notification to prayers at bohmglobal.com. Amen.
And the purpose of that, you know, that you're or Betty put a prayer with that, you know, and the prayer request shows up, and the prayer, and that way we're all praying in unity.
Same thing.
We're all praying in unity, the same thing. And,
right.
You know, there's power in unity.
Right. Oh, and one thing I did forget to mention too is when God answers your prayer. You see, I say when, not if. When God answers your prayer, please let us know. I have kept track of answered prayers now for as long as I've been on the prayer team. So I've got just scads and scads of praise reports. And we love to hear that because we want to know that God has moved in your life. And, you know, it's a faith builder. We can look at that and say, God moved here. God did this. So before we start our second hour, we'll want to start with a song, an old song by Lamb. I believe this is about 45 years old, called The Sacrifice Lamb.
Have you ever heard Messiah has come? It says in his word to cleanse everyone. Atonement he made, iniquity bore, that we can find life with him evermore. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on the altar a stain to wipe away heat and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's own Son. Jesus the one for the world, Yeshua is he. The prophets of old speak much of Messiah. His death is foretold. Is clear. Isaiah did say, "'Twas for an atonement to give us a way that leads not to death." sacrifice lamb has been slain, his blood on the altar a stain to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. Salvation has come to the world, God's own Son to the world, Jesus the one for the world, Yeshua is He. So brothers of mine, look not to yourself, for we are but one, we all need His help. We've broken the law, but He paid our debt, that we can find life by Yeshua's death. The sacrifice lamb has been slain, His blood on the altar a stain, to wipe away guilt and pain, to bring hope eternal. So final atonement has come and brought us new hope by God's Son. If you will believe in your heart, Yeshua, you'll know.
Great song by the group called Lamb. That's, like I said, that one's about 45 years old, I think. But still a great song. I want to talk in this hour about how entering into God's rest affects our spiritual warfare. And that's a really important concept because, again, resting is not sitting back in an easy chair, although it is going to involve your seating arrangement, we'll put it that way for now. But it's not just doing nothing. Resting in God is your empowerment to live for Him, to do things for Him. So go back with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And this time we're going to talk about the first seven verses. And Paul writes, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the fashion of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience." And that, of course, is talking about the evil one, the accuser. It says, "Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." So right there, that's kind of a gloomy picture, isn't it, Nan?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's kind of gloomy. We're all under Satan's power. We're just a big old mess. But you got to love verse 4. But. First word is but. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us. And I do want to read this verse out of the Amplified. "But God, so rich is He in His mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love which He had for us." Okay, I love that. Just God's love is so intense, so immense. even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. For by grace we have been saved. So we were dead in our sins. God made us alive. He brought us back to life, basically. There's an old song, "He gave me a new life, something to live for." Yeah, well, it's an old song.
I only know the old songs, not the old songs.
Oh, okay. All right. But it says we were raised, we were brought back to life, we were raised up with him. And that's not just talking about the resurrection there. Because as we go on to see, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's talking about Jesus' ascension into heaven. So not only did we spiritually come back to life through the resurrection, Jesus took us into heaven. Our true life is in heaven. Our true position, now listen to me, folks, your true position is seated with Christ in heavenly places. Picture that. We're not powerless. We're seated next to Jesus in heaven. That's our position. And that is so important that we rest in that, that we believe that. That's our position. Jesus went to the cross. When he went to the cross, according to Romans chapter 6, so did we. Everything that we inherited from Adam, our whole entire sin nature, Jesus took to the cross, left it there. When he rose again, he gave us new life. When he ascended into heaven, so did we. It's kind of a hard thing to imagine. But our position is seated with him. And I want to back up, because this will make it a little bit clearer, I think, into the end of chapter 1 of Ephesians. It says, I pray in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. Who? Us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Focus on this: far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So go with me on this. Right here. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead works in us right now. That resurrection power works in us. And we're seated with him because we're part of his body, okay? Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, anything. We're far above, we're seated far above Satan's kingdom, the nations, the kingdoms of this world, all that. We're seated above that. We're over that. As I mentioned this morning, I could be a bunion on the big toe of Jesus and still be over all that. Because it says he put all things under his feet. That includes the world system. That includes our flesh. That includes the devil. It's all under our feet. Mm-hmm. And that's sometimes a hard thing, because, you know, the question was raised this morning. What about when we get assaulted? What about when we get defeated? We need to remember, first and foremost, We live in a fallen world, so bad things are going to happen. But we can be victorious over whatever happens because of where we're seated. Because we are seated in Jesus at the right hand of God. Ooh,
That'll preach.
That'll preach. And I think, you know, we've kind of gotten away from that. There's, you know, because I'd heard this, you know, a long time ago. And I need to be periodically reminded of my position. Because it's easy, again, to get into that unbelief. Well, I look at the world around me and it's just horrible and doesn't seem like God's got anything under control. Well, disobedience. And then we as humans just love to take stuff into our own hands. And I may be treading on, you know, hard ground at this moment, but everybody knows what happened in Parkland, Florida earlier this past week. And, you know, my Facebook friends were just all lit up on both sides of the spectrum with, well, we got to do this. We can't do this. We got to do this. We can't do this. And it's like, okay. And people were complaining, don't send me your prayers and thoughts. That's because we've way overused that term. But that's the only solution. First and foremost, it's prayer that's going to change the hearts of the people, the victims, and the hearts of the lawmakers. It's prayer that can do that. Because here we go, right here. We're seated above that. Mm-hmm. Paul says in Philippians, our true citizenship is where?
In heaven.
In heaven. And from there, we expect our Savior to return. But our true citizenship is in heaven. That's why, and I know, you know, Satan loves, that's one of the things. He knows our weak spots. Mm-hmm. He'd love to pull me into these debates, you know, mm-hmm. on Facebook. And it's like, no. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pray about it, and if God gives me something to say, then maybe I will say it. Not maybe, but I will say it. More often than not, it's not from God, you know, because we tend to react in anger and whatever, mm-hmm. and bitterness, but again, that's unbelief. That's unbelief. And I'm not saying grieving is unbelief, because it's not. That's natural. But bitterness, hatred, That has its roots in unbelief, and it leads to disobedience, which, remember from last hour, we talked about that always leads to open rebellion. Mm-hmm. You know, that seems to be the way that goes. But resting in God, we have to believe. Do we believe we're seated above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named? We had mentioned the prayer ministry. And I, you know, sometimes I'll put in prayers, especially if it's for healing. You know, our God is above and more powerful than the name of cancer, mm-hmm. than the name of AIDS, than the name of whatever. God's more powerful than that. And I think sometimes we think the disease is more powerful than God. No, disease is a malfunction caused by the evil one. And he's under our feet.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to walk in this, and that's the hard thing. That's where staying in God's rest comes in so handy, because we have to believe. And there's a promise in the Bible for I truly believe every human need. You can find something in the Bible, a promise from God about that. But then, as you've been saying with your poems, it's your decision. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to go with that? Talk to me, Nan.
Well, it is our decision what we want to do. And there may be people listening to, but you don't know what I'm facing. But you don't know what's happened in my life. But you don't know what I'm having to do. Well, you're right. We don't. We don't know you. But God does. And he knows them. And he cares mm-hmm. for them. And he, you know, But we have to make it's our choice. You know, it's like if I were to have a $100 bill right here, and I say, Pastor Jim, this is a $100 bill. Would you like it? You're going to have to reach out and take it in order to be able to have it. You know, you have to receive, you know, and the same thing was that with God. He has all this stuff for us, all this great stuff, but we have to ask for it.
And we have to receive it. Ask and you shall receive. I say, well, sure, Nan, I'd like it, but if I never reach for it, even if you hand it over, even if you pick it up and start handing it to me, if I don't pick it up, if I don't receive it, it doesn't do me any good.
Right.
So, yeah, we have to believe what's been said and receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's walking in God's rest. That's living in God's rest. That's warring mm-hmm. in God's rest. And I'm going to talk more about that after this next song, which is Jesus Messiah by Chris Tomlin.
Blessed redeemed.
Amen. Amen. Jesus Messiah by Chris Tomlin. Great song. Nan, I think you have something for us.
I do. Jesus is the Messiah for you. He gave his very life for you. Will you accept this gift from him? With this, just what will you do? He will live in your heart. He will fill, you will feel his presence there. So what will you do with this? Will you call out to him in prayer?
Amen. Amen. And again, another question. Yeah. Okay, so I want to bump over to Colossians, which is actually just after Philippians, which is just after Ephesians. So in chapter 2, this actually happens to be my life verse. Chapter 2, verse 8 is my life verse. And it says, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now, I did get this life verse when I was in college, so back in the crazy 70s. Mm-hmm. For in him, in Jesus, all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form. Okay, so Jesus is fully God and fully man, not half God, half man. Fully God and fully man. He's not some demigod like Hercules was in Greek mythology. He is fully God, fully eternal, fully equal with the Father, and yet fully human. He feels everything we feel because he's fully human. And in him, you have been made complete. I love this verse. I love the way the New American Standard puts it. And in him, this is verse 10, you have been made complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. So there's nothing lacking in you. Okay? If you're a believer, this is another thing about God's rest. You can rest in the assurance that there's nothing lacking in you. There's nothing missing. Okay? Because in Jesus, you are complete. And he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him, you were circumcised with a circumcision without hands, the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. In the removal of the body of flesh. That's going back to what we talked about earlier, about everything that we inherited from Adam is nailed to the cross. It stayed there. We didn't, but that did. The power of sin is broken forever because everything we inherited, our tendency to sin, our broken nature was nailed to the cross. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Again, there's that common theme that we're, you know, that's why baptism is important, because it symbolizes our death and burial and our resurrection. Because it says here, we're raised with him. When you were dead, and this is verse 13, in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all our transgressions. Nan's going, yay! that's great, because we can't have victory over the devil unless we know we're forgiven. Mm-hmm. Because he'll pick away at that like you would not believe. Well, you probably would believe. But it says, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. This is all those times we sinned and broke the law. That's what this is talking about. He canceled it out. He's taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. All those things are nailed to the cross. And then in verse 15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. And some translations say, or through it being the cross. He triumphed over them through the cross. Satan is defeated already. Okay, because this is the next big point I want to make. Satan is already defeated. First of all, Jesus has taken away our sins. Let me just read something out of Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to read it out of the King James.
Yay.
Yay. Start with verse 5 of chapter 1. He predestined us to adoption as sons. Oops. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I love the way that translates that. We're accepted. So first of all, Jesus dealt with the sin problem by forgiving us. He dealt with the sinner problem by nailing us to the cross. Now he's going to deal with that other problem, the Satan problem. Because it says here he canceled out the certificate of debt, and then he disarmed the rulers and authorities. They got no power. They have no power. He disarmed them. Every weapon that Satan has been taken away. He's just a toothless. I think of the bumble in Rudolph. Think back to Christmas a couple months ago, watching Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Remember what Hermie did? He took out all the bumble's teeth. Mm. It wasn't scary after that. Because he'd been defanged, he'd been disarmed. I know that's an odd sort of thing, but it's what happened. It took away everything, made a public display of them. Amazing. You know, it's like what Paul's kind of hinting at here is in Rome when a general won a great victory, and there were certain stipulations, but it had to be a great victory, not just any old victory. But a great one. You would have a triumph. And what that meant was a big old parade. And all the captives that you captured would be in this parade. They'd be in chains. They'd be forced to walk in this parade and basically be humiliated along the way. And Jesus, that's what Jesus did. He disarmed Satan. You know? Satan only has the power we give him. Oh, I'm so afraid of the devil. Well, you know what? You just opened up the door. Mm-hmm. And I think people don't realize that. Oh, I'm scared of the devil. I'm scared of what he might do. Mm-hmm. No, all he can do is lie. All he can do is lie to us, which, of course, he'll do with a drop of a hat. He'll try and deceive us. He's still a deceiver.
Right.
Another weird example, you know me and my weird examples, those of you that love the Lord of the Rings, like I love the Lord of the Rings, know that Saruman's power was taken away from him by Gandalf, the wizard. Okay, I know.
No, I've never watched it.
Okay,
so
Nan's looking at me like, what in the world is he talking about? The one thing Saruman still had after he was... after his power, you know, his supernatural powers had been taken away, was his voice and able to deceive. And that's kind of the same thing with the devil. He can deceive still. Mm-hmm. Peter writes that, you know, your enemy walks around like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion, but he walks around growling and roaring a lot to try and scare us. But we don't have to give in to that. God has provided, and there's not, of course, not nearly enough time to have a whole teaching on spiritual warfare, but as we rest in God, we know our position, that we're seated with Jesus, and we know, secondly, Jesus has disarmed him. And that's why we need to remember that we fight from a position of victory. We don't fight defensively, you know, to hold land. It's already ours. We're just sweeping up. We are fighting from a position of victory. Jesus won the victory at Calvary when he died, rose again, and ascended into heaven. He says in Revelation, I was dead, and I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys to death and hell. Jesus got the keys. And he took them away from Satan. Satan did have them. Jesus, when he died, he went, you know, down into the lower regions, into Sheol, took those keys away from the devil. And he says, I'm alive forevermore. What's it say also in Revelation 12? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even to the point of death. Everybody kind of leaves that last part out. But it's you know, we always hear about blood and the word, but part three is you got to be willing to lay it down for Jesus. Mm. And that may not mean a physical death, although it could. It has, you know, countless times in the past, but laying it all down for Jesus, that's how we overcome. And the only way we can do that is to believe the promises. And that's why in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says in verse 10, you all know this. If you've been listening to this show long enough, we've been over these verses, I know, several times. Finally, be strong in yourself and in the strength of your might.
No. I was rechecking it. That is not what it says, Pastor Jim.
What does it say, Nan?
It says, King James, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. We have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Resting, entering into God's rest means we believe that. And I pointed out this morning, we believe in Jesus. He lives inside of us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live inside of us. So, in essence, we have the glory cloud living inside of us. And going back to what Joshua said, you know, he said the shadow, when he was trying to convince the Israelites they could go into Canaan, he said their shadow of protection is gone. Well, think about it. You got this big old flaming glory cloud, and that, you know, I can just see it pushing back the darkness. And it's the same thing with us. We carry the very presence of God that was over the cherubim in the tabernacle inside of us. So we can push back the darkness if we choose to. If we choose to. Because Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And here's another trick to spiritual warfare. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. This is where so many people get it wrong, because we're fighting the wrong battle. We're fighting the wrong opponent. I think of one of our people at church was, they had a robbery at the store she works at, and she was actually physically assaulted by the robber, pushed her into the case of, you know, that she was stocking up. And, you know, it'd be easy to see him as the enemy. And yeah, in one sense, of course he is, but who is behind it? Mm-hmm. Who's the real enemy here?
Satan.
Yeah. The mass shooters, the people that are doing the mass shooting. Yes. They have let this into their lives, and they deserve to be punished. But it's the spiritual forces behind it that we need to be contending with. I've said this before. I just know in my heart that during World War II, especially, there were legions, armies of intercessors praying. You know, not that the United States was holier than, you know, the Axis powers. Certainly Russia wasn't. But There were people praying for a victory over Nazism, over the Nazis. And I believe before the battles took place on Earth physically, they were taking place in the heavens, mm-hmm. in the heavenlies. There were angels and demons warring over Germany. And I really think we owe so much of that, of the victory, to people. I believe people prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I'm just saying, because right. look what happened in Korea and Vietnam. People, I don't think we're praying. I seriously, I think that. I think that for everything since World War II, I don't think people prayed enough. Mm-hmm. That's just me. That's just me. But anyway, getting back to Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, "No, first of all, know who your real enemy is. Don't go attacking people. But look behind to see what's motivating them. Mm-hmm. Spirit of murder? You bet. I'm convinced that these people have a spirit of murder operating in their lives. Mm-hmm. Spirit of death. Whatever. We need to bind that
right.
in the name of Jesus. I'm going to do that right now. For anybody who's even remotely thinking of this, we bind that spirit of murder. We Amen. Just bind it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And then he says, put on the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. And you can't stand until you sit. I want to make that point very clear. You cannot stand firm unless you first learn how to sit. And where are we seated? In the heavenlies with Jesus. We can't learn to stand until we first learn to sit. Because we have to know our position. If we try to fight from anything other than a position of victory, we're going to fail. And I want to repeat that. If we try and fight any time, any place, any way other than from a position of victory, then we're going to fail. We already have the victory. We just need to enforce it. If we believe that Jesus is risen and we're risen with him, we're seated in the heavenly places above all of this, then we can stand. Then we can take up that armor and fight the battle. But if I don't believe I already have victory in this situation, I'm going to be walking in unbelief. And that's going to lead to disobedience and eventually rebellion. Nan, you were going to say something.
Well, what I wanted to talk, you know, you talk about putting on the armor of God. There's a Christian friend of mine at work. There's a lot of spiritual battles going on at my school. And we, you know, I'll call her and I'll say, did you put on the armor yet? You know, yeah, I did. I put it on before I left the house. You know what I mean? And we literally spiritually are putting on the armor of the Lord mm-hmm. to be able to, you know, remain with victory. We do have victory. We do have that, you know. But anyway, we just I do that many mornings. I will call her on the way into work. She's on the way into work. No, I haven't. Yeah, I'm going to. And you know, I mean that has become something we just do.
Right, right.
And we just do.
And the first I can start asking her, are you believing that you're seated with Jesus?
Yes.
You know, because that's. I mean, anything else, we're doing it on our own, kind of to bring it back to right. the very beginning. If we don't believe that God has empowered us, then we're trying to do this on our own power. It's coming from ourselves, from our flesh, and it's bound to fail. We have to believe that we're doing it from God, that the empowerment to do it comes from God. That way, we will succeed. Praise God.
Praise God.
Amen. So I'm going to finish up today with with a song from Keith Green, There is a Redeemer. Because I want, you know, again, this whole thing boils down. The first step is salvation. And as the song is playing, I just want you to think about the words of the song and what all Jesus did for you. Because we all know we can't do it ourselves. We need someone to redeem us. So, There is a Redeemer by Keith Green.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, oh, for sinners slain. The work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see His face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Thank you, my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit to the work on earth is done.
Wonderful song. And that kind of brings us full circle. We started talking in the first hour about the salvation of God and how that is, you know, done by faith, that this resting in God, entering into God's rest, starts with our salvation, but and continues through our life by faith. So it's important to remember that, and I just want to take a moment here. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've never asked Him into your life, or maybe you have, and maybe have gone, and I've done this, the way of disobedience. You know, I've had my times where I was walking around Mount Sinai for a long time because I was being disobedient. I was kind of doing my own thing, and it praise God. It says, you know, if we're faithless, He remains faithful, and He did. He's always been faithful. So I just want to pray with our listeners and have you invite Jesus. If you don't know Him, ask Him. Ask Him in. This last song, you know, there is a Redeemer. We need forgiveness. We've talked about that. We need redemption. We need to be bought back. That's what redemption means. And Jesus did all that for us on the cross. So I just want to pray with everyone. And maybe, you know, maybe you've never known Him. Maybe you've known Him and walked away. Maybe you've known Him and just never really committed your life to Him. Or maybe you have a need today that you're just saying, oh, my need's too big for God. You know what? There's nothing too big for God. Nothing at all. So, Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that the words that have been spoken today, the songs that have been sung, Father, I pray that these would minister to our listeners. That, Father, if there's somebody out there who does not know Jesus, who doesn't know you, the one true God, and Jesus, your Son, the Messiah, that you would just take the blinders off of their eyes and soften up their heart, Father. Put people in their path to share the gospel with them, Father, and give them a hearing ear and an open heart that they would receive you. Father, I pray, Lord God, if there's people out there that maybe knew you and then walked away, I pray, Lord God, that you would minister to their lives. Father, I've been there, and I thank you that you brought me back. I thank you, Jesus, that you kept after me until I surrendered again to you. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that if there are those out there who once knew you, but for whatever reason have become angry and disobedient and unbelieving and rebellious, that you would just turn their hearts back to you. Father, I pray that for all of us, that we would continually make Jesus the Lord of our lives, that we would surrender every day, everything to him. Father, I thank you because I'm believing right now there are those out there that are sick and you're healing them right now. Father, there's people out there that are listening that are brokenhearted. And Jesus, you came to bind up the brokenhearted. And we're just believing you're doing that right now. There are people who need power in their lives. And Father, I'm believing that the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is falling on people right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you glory and honor. We thank you, Lord, that your word goes forth and never returns void. We thank you, Lord. We're believing for a harvest from today, 30, 60, 100 fold. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Nan, any final thoughts on...
Well, I guess just encouraging the people to accept the salvation that's available. You know, a lot of information has been shared today from the heart. Several of the poems had questions in there. What will you do with this? And I want to just encourage them to do something with it. Accept it. Move forward. Realize who they are in God, realize they can rest in peace, mm-hmm. which is why our series has been all about resting in peace. They can rest in peace. They have to accept that. They have to accept it. Some people might say, but you don't know what I've done. I'm not worthy of that. Well, none of us are worthy of anything, you know?
I am.
Well, besides you, Pastor Jim.
Just kidding.
I know.
You're absolutely right. None of us are worthy of, on our own, of getting anything from God. And I think that's always been a trap. For people, is that we believe the lie that we're not worthy in the wrong way. I mean, we're not worthy, not on our own, but you know what? Jesus has made us worthy.
Amen.
And that's, you know, that's what counts, is that Jesus has made us worthy. Yeah, and that's resting in peace.
Right.
You know, this whole series has been about peace, what it means to be at peace. I'm going to give a quick summary of the whole eight
Absolutely.
Weeks of it. But, you know, being at peace, first of all, peace with God. You know, being at peace with God. And that's the important thing. That's what we kind of stress today in resting in God, is being at peace with God. Because of what Jesus did, we have peace with God. In 2 Corinthians, he's not mad at us anymore. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, read that. It talks about how God in Jesus has already forgiven us. All we have to do is accept it. I've made this point before. God is not mad at you.
Amen.
Otherwise, if he was still mad, he wouldn't have sent Jesus.
Exactly.
You know, and people get that all discombobulated. And he gave us, you know, secondly, our peace is with ourselves. We can't be at peace with ourselves until we're at peace with God. That just kind of flows right out of that. And then lastly, of course, it's peace with others. You know, God calls us to peace. It says strive for peace with each other. As far as is possible, be at peace with each other. And again, there's that progression. We can't, it all starts with peace with God, peace with ourselves, being just trusting and believing what God has done for us. That's that peace that we get. And then we can be at peace with God. And then we talk about the rest, being at rest with God, resting in God, ceasing from our own labors. That's what today was about. That can be so very difficult. You know, so incredibly difficult because we don't want to rest. We think we've got to get out and do. God says, no, if you do it from yourself, it's worthless to me. We need to do it empowered by Him. So, quick reminder to all of our listeners. Thank you so much again for tuning in today. It's been great. This has been Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. Again, we meet every Sunday in Palm Harbor at 10 a.m. If you're in the area, please join us. We also have a show, Go Yard, on Thursday nights at 6:06. Don't forget our prayer ministry. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Please send us your prayers. And if you responded to the prayer today, maybe you asked Jesus into your heart, you know, whatever, let us know, because we want to, I want to talk with you. I want to encourage you in your new life in Jesus. So, and remember, it's not far to Jesus.
Safely to his side. There's no need for you.